Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
Sir Buckle joins us, and Buck, I gotta tell you, with the media days and the various leaks going on, I was anticipating no news at all. I was anticipating not even hardly watching it. I don't need to know about your depth chart because I already know your depth chart. I don't need to know about how good your offseason was because you're probably lying to me about it. But the OU and Texas news blew us up right out of the water.
Yeah, I'm still trying. I mean, because it's not over. You know, that's the thing. There's so much that's still there.
Yeah.
So much we don't even know. Man, you know, every year it seems like we say this, Bill. Wouldn't we love to be a fly on the wall at those meetings? Because this has been going on. And I want to go back to what made Texas and OU say, let's stick it to A&M a little bit. Because it's really, at the end of the day, they both, all of those schools recruit Texas. I mean, you know, just your folks listen to the show enough so they know that 50 to 60 players every year on OU's roster are from the state of Texas. So when OU is really going well, the majority of their folks are from the state of Texas. And the recruiting only gets better. Their brands are both strong. Texas and OU don't like each other, but Texas A&M and Texas hate each other. I mean, that goes deep, right? So for them to come together and figure out how to do this where we don't know about it, where it doesn't leak, that was incredible to me. That was the first part. I said, how did they do this so smoothly? And Commissioner Sankey, now that you listen back to his initial talk and conversation, he was kind of setting the table for it.
He right? was.
I mean, he was setting the table for it. Nick Saban goes over to the Texas High School Football Coaches Convention and talks about a seven-figure quarterback who has not even started. Now, Nick is as smooth as ice. I mean, he knows how to recruit, right? But they were laying the gauntlet down like, hey, look, we're coming to Texas, baby. We're going to be full force here. And so we got Texas A&M, but don't sleep because LSU also recruits there really well. They always have. So it's just interesting how the first thing the public says is, oh, Texas and OU are going to suck in the SEC. I'm like, guys, don't worry about how they are now. Don't worry about if OU can't play defense and if Texas keeps saying they're back. Their brands are so strong, and the SEC is looking at how can we get more brand recognition to an already strong brand. And it they did it so smoothly. I'm like, wow, that was impressive. That was impressive. Mergers and acquisitions go on all the time, right? Companies buy companies, and you're like, oh, I can't believe I didn't see that happening. We did not see this happening, and it's made college football even more like, golly, it's just doing other things we didn't think they could do.
That means the Red River Shootout is a Southeastern Conference rivalry game.
And I'll say this, too. What do you think is going to be the first game, no matter what division Texas and Texas A&M are on? And that game, and that's the first game out of the box, or it's one of those night games that we've all become accustomed to liking. They're going to play. Now, will they play every year? I don't know. But there's no chance in hell that they won't say it's going to happen every 10 years with the hate that's lost in that Texas A&M rivalry.
Charles Arbuckle with us. They informed the Big 12, Texas and Oklahoma did on Monday, that we're not going to extend our grant of rights. Mm-hmm. Buck, it goes through 2025, contractually through 2025, and nobody is saying this, but I would think it's implied. I don't think OU and Texas think they're going to be in the Big 12 in 2025 or 2023. I don't know what they think's going to happen. The league implodes or something, but I don't think they plan on hanging around 4 or 5 years through this contract.
I don't think so either, Bill. And what's funny is they were given all the power in that contract. And I think now the Big 12 is still trying to do that. But it just goes to show you, no matter how much you have of something, you can say, look, this is where we need to be. And it's interesting, all the different parties and the ADs that are involved in this and all the kind of backdoor dealing. You know, I love when those guys figure out the story and who gets to it and write a book about it. But this is one I really want to read because it changes how we think of college football. These super conferences that, you know, we talked about, what, 5 years ago, maybe the last, at least within the last 10 years, they're here. I mean, this is the genesis of it. And it all kind of came, and it seems like we keep seeing Texas and Oklahoma in some way, shape, or form involved in this, right? They have found a way they were going to be in the Pac 16 or whatever that was going to be. Now they're part of this SEC conglomerate of super conferences. They played a major role in a lot of these things, and I think we got to give them credit for leveraging their brand. Whether the football on the field is always great with Texas, I mean, OU has played really well the last few years, like I said, other than their defensive prowess, which I think is going to be, I think they're going to be a better defensive football team this year. But we don't even have a chance to talk about that because of all the stuff that's happening off the field, right? You know, the things that we anticipate, yeah, we'll talk to Lincoln Riley about his, you know, Spencer Rattler not coming to, you know, Big 12 media days. Well, that's become a non-story with this stuff.
So there's our buckle each and every Tuesday. Topic that's come up, Buck, and again, Charles played at UCLA before going to the NFL. Do you think there's a way that Southern Cal and UCLA would break free of the Pac-12 and perhaps, like, join a Big Ten?
You know, after all this started happening, Bill, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 or Pac-10 or Pac-8, whatever it's, you know, whatever iteration it is, has always been close, right?
Right.
So I don't know. The Big Ten now has to find a way to give itself some cachet, you know, both in football and basketball. And, you know, I know Kansas is trying to get to the Big Ten, but football at Kansas is awful, and they've got a lot of things going on there currently. I don't know if the Big Ten looks at any of those, you know, Big 12 schools and says, yeah, I mean, you know, is it Baylor? TCU maybe? Even TCU has kind of been, you know, they bounced and now they're in the Big 12. So I think there's a chance that the Big Ten looks out west, and clearly USC, of course. I mean, if you can get USC in any stretch, that would be great. UCLA would be a package deal with them, but hell, I don't know anymore. The way things have happened, especially with Texas and Texas A&M, doesn't necessarily mean the rivals go together, or when they do, what does that look like? Washington, I think, would be a brand that, you know, a lot of people recognize. I don't know. The Big Ten now has to do something as well, and what that looks like is going to be interesting, because I don't know. Missouri is not happy, of course, with Texas A&M, and people don't really care, right? But what happens with the Missouri? Would the Missouri say, hey, look, maybe this isn't a good fit for us, we go to the Big Ten? I don't know. I'm just speculating because that's all we can do. But I do think the Big Ten now has to look around and say, where can we get stronger? You know, where can we get some more brands now that will help us? And they are really big on the academic side. So you got to figure schools that have strong academic reputations will play a role. Washington, Stanford, USC, UCLA. I don't know. Cal has not been good for a while, but I think if you're talking about academic strength of what we consider, would those schools be the ones that the Big Ten now looks at, especially since they've had such an affiliation and the Rose Bowl is in flux because they may not want to move when they can be played. And so now that the college football playoff is expanding, that could also play a role.
Yeah, and the Missouri AD, I guess overnight, they announced he's out. He's got 2 years left on his contract. He's going to fade away until they can find, and they keep saying they're going to need to find somebody with more of a national vision. So Missouri apparently is reacting to all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, things are going to happen now. I don't think anybody say if you're an AD of the school and your folks aren't happy with you, you might want to get your resume, your LinkedIn profile redone, because it doesn't seem like the presidents are sitting back, right? They're being real aggressive now. And I think that's part of what we see. Each day going into the season, we're going to talk less football. We'll talk more football because it's coming. But we're going to have a lot of conversations around this, which I think is interesting, and it makes it fun to me. I mean, it makes it another year of college football.
Last time, Buck, that I remember a story that wasn't on the field take a lot of space during the playing portion of the season was 2010. Now, we had the expansion scare that summer of Oklahoma, Texas, maybe going west and taking Oklahoma State and A&M with them and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got into the season, you remember the Cam Newton story, because you had two angles there. Number one, you have this kid who transferred from Florida, went to a junior college, now he's quarterbacking Auburn, and he looks like Superman, and he's driving them towards a championship. And then you had all the off-the-field payment rumors that would not go away. That's the last time I remember something that big taking away from the season.
Well, and I think this year was interesting. You've got name, image, and likeness on top of all this, the potential for the college football playoff expansion and, Texas and OU. The Red River shootout rivalry, whatever we call it now. It's going to be front and center. And I think we're going to continue. This year might be a little bit different because with this name, image, and likeness, we still don't know what that looks like, but we're going to hear a lot about it, because as players get deals or these deals that are supposed deals, we're going to hear more and more about that. So I'm curious to see how that plays out throughout the course of the year, because we're going to talk about the season, but we have to talk about this other stuff because it's so new and it's something we have never had to go through before.
You're being recruited in the mid-80s out of Houston. Again, Buck played at UCLA. Was the A&M Texas, and I know the hate's not recent, but was it as hateful in the 80s as it is now?
I think it might have been even higher because of the Southwest Conference affiliation. And I think some of that, and Texas had started to wane, and A&M has started to get better, especially during that time with the Wrecking Crew and, all of those things that they were doing on the field. I mean, talking about A&M having some really good, really talented players that in the past you would have seen over at the University of Texas. Now they were starting to go to A&M or leave the state like I did. But I don't think it's ever been a time where I don't remember, Texas and Texas A&M not having a whole lot of love for each other on the football field. And the player, I mean, here it's just like anything else. The players grow up. You end up playing Pop Warner ball, high school football, whatever level of football against a lot of these guys. But there is a level of hate. The fan bases seem to have just over the years grown and grown and grown. And I think these kind of instances, when you have this happening with the state school and the school that's a heavy agricultural school, there's some animosity there. I hope it happens where they do, Texas and OU goes to the SEC, because I do want to see that rivalry again. I think that's one we have to see. And I think it's good for college football. I really do. And those are the kind of things that we've started to miss. But if some of this expansion and super conference talk happens, and it does happen where we have these schools coming back together, I don't think that's a bad thing at all for college football. I actually think it's really good.
Buck, we'll see you next week, sir. Appreciate it very much.
I will. Okay, man. Have a good one. Thanks.
There is Charles Arbuckle. Very informative.